So, Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 14, verse number 26, Brahma's prayers to Lord Krishna. Jnana samgyo bhava bandha moksho. Dvo namananyo staritam gya bhavat. Ajasra sityatmani kevale pare. Vicharyamanam taranavivahani. Ajnana, manifesting from ignorance. Samgyo, which designations? Bhava bandha, bondage to material existence. Moksha, and liberation. Dvo, the two. Nama, indeed. Na, not. Anyo, separate. Sta, are. Rita, true. Gya bhavat, from knowledge. Ajasra chitti, whose awareness is unimpeded. Atmani, the spirit soul. Kevale, who is separate from matter. Pare, who is pure. Vicharyamane, when he is properly distinguished. Tarano, within the sun. Eva, just as. Ahani, day and night. So this is Lord Brahma. Continues offering his prayers to Lord Krishna. This is right after he stole the cows and the calves and the cowherd boys, and Krishna showed him his mystic power was insignificant compared to him. And now he's humbled and he realizes who Krishna actually is. So now he's offering, this whole chapter is practically Brahman's prayers to Lord Krishna. It's really one of the most important chapters in the Bhagavatam. So, translation, the conception of material bondage and the conception of liberation are both manifestations of ignorance. Think about that. The conception of material bondage and the conception of liberation are both manifestations of ignorance. Being outside the true scope of knowledge, being outside the scope of true knowledge, they cease to exist when one correctly understands that the pure spirit soul is distinct from matter and always fully conscious. At that time, bondage and liberation no longer have any significance, just as day and night have no significance from the perspective of the sun. Very philosophical statement, which really brings about the reality of our illusion. I'll read it again. The conception of material bondage and the conception of liberation are both manifestations of ignorance. So we think we're in material bondage and we think we can free ourselves from that. So that's called ignorance. Being outside the scope of true knowledge, they cease to exist when one correctly understands that the pure spirit soul is distinct from matter and always fully conscious. So we never touch matter, although we are surrounded by it, but we never touch it. The soul cannot blend with matter, although the soul is encased in matter. It's like if you're inside of a room you're separate from the room. The room exists and you exist, but you don't become one with the room. So in the same way, the soul doesn't touch matter, although it's in the material body. At that time, when one fully understands that the soul is distinct from matter, at that time, bondage and liberation have no longer any significance. Just as day and night have no significance from the perspective of the sun. Purport. Srila Prabhupada's purport elaborates on this point. Prabhupada's disciples. Oh, Prabhupada's disciples, yes. Okay. Enthused by Srila Prabhupada. Material bondage is illusion because the living entity is actually has no real relationship with the material world. Haribo, you're all free. You don't know it, but you think you're whoever you think you are, you're not. It's all an illusion. You think you're a father. It's an illusion. You think you're a lady. It's an illusion. Maybe you're a spiritual lady, but that's different. Because of false ego, this is false ego means the false identity with the self. The conditioned soul identifies himself with matter. Therefore, so-called liberation is simply the giving up of an illusion rather than the release from actual bondage. So we can't be released from bondage because we're not in bondage. In the absolute sense. Yet even if we think that we are suffering from a material illusion is real and that liberation is a meaningful release from suffering, the mere absence of material existence is still insignificant compared to the achievement of the factual spiritual life, which is the positive eternal reality opposed to the negative illusion of material life. Haribol. Did you get that? It's really. So even if you think you're an illusion, it doesn't really matter because real life is spiritual life and what's surrounding you is just your conception of reality, which is wrong. Ultimately, Krishna consciousness or pure love of Godhead is the only significant, meaningful, and permanent status for every living being. So, since the darkness of night is caused by the absence of the sun, one would not experience night without the sun itself. Within the sun itself. What does it say? Within the sun itself. Nor would one experience individual days separate from night. Similarly, with the pure living entity, there is no material darkness, and thus no experience of liberation from such darkness. Okay, so... So again, it's making the same point using the analogy of the sun, that liberation and bondage is both a conception that identifies oneself with the material body. When the conditioned soul comes to this platform of pure consciousness, he becomes fit to associate with the Supreme Pure, the personality of Godhead himself, in the Lord's own abode. And so Maya rules the material world under the guidance of Krishna. And Maya has so many meanings. One of the meanings is mercy. Another meaning is illusion, of course. Illusion means that something is real, but it's not what you perceive it to be. In this sense of illusion. Of course, there's another meaning of illusion, which means it doesn't exist at all. But in one sense, both of these definitions of illusion are true when it comes to this material world. Because matter is simply a combination of different elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, on the physical level, mind, intelligence, and what we say the false sense of self on the subtle level, when they combine in different ways, they make the forms of this material world. And so if you break everything down in this world, all you get is these basic elements. That's all. That's what your body is made out of. That's what everything is made out of. The whole material structure is based on the combination of these different elements. And so, so when you see the forms of this world, in one sense, they're not real, because they're just combination of these elements. And if the elements are moved by the movement of the material energy, then you get a different form based on the same elements. So what is real and what is not real is just a conception of something that presents itself in time and then loses, then changes. So when we know everything in this world is temporary, but we are not temporary, we are eternal, we find ourselves in what we call an inordinate or not unnatural situation. And so how to live within that inordinate, unnatural situation is to identify with the reality. And the reality is the spiritual essence or the spiritual energy. And the only way you can somehow or other keep that consciousness away from being illusioned by this false combination of elements or these combination of elements is to engage in devotional service, where you take yourself, the body, and you engage your body, your mind, and your senses, your intelligence, whatever, and the objects of this material world, which come within your purview of what we say access, and then you keep your consciousness in that type of activity, and then you're building your consciousness back towards where you actually are, or who you actually are, your identity as a, because you're acting according to who you are. When we act on the material sense, we're acting within the illusion. It's almost like a play or a drama that's happening. The drama looks real, but actually it's just an act that's put on for the entertainment of the people involved. So the process is to engage in devotional service. And that is the only way one can somehow free themselves from illusion. There are different types of philosophical teachers. the process of neti neti. It's not this, it's not this, it's not this. By what we say empirical calculations, a person tries to understand what is true through the process of eliminating what is not true. And then they come to the position that actually I am different than everything in this world, therefore I am actually true, or I am actually what we say not part of the same energy that I'm encased in or surrounded by. So in other words, they come to the platform of being separate from everything. The jnanis, they do that. The yogis also through that, different types of meditation. But because they don't engage in devotional service, they're forced again to fall back into the activities of material energy, because the soul by nature has to have activity. The soul is by nature active. So if the soul is not engaged in devotional service, it has to be engaged in some kind of material activity, either subtle or gross, either one. And so, therefore, all of the other forms of spiritual elevation bring one to a certain level of understanding, but not the complete understanding. The complete understanding is only done by bhakti, or by devotion to the Lord, and following the principles. And it looks, and the interesting thing about, and the criticism that bhakti gets, it looks like, just like material activities. Just like we eat, and the non-devotees, they eat. We have a house, and they have a building that we live in, and they have a building which they live in. But the activities within both of these places are different, and the goal is also different. The consciousness behind the activities is different. One is trying to achieve some success through their activities on a material level, trying to gain something or to establish something or to fulfill some personal need. But the devotees, they're not so much concerned about that. They're concerned about elevating their consciousness to the spiritual level through the worship of the Lord by engaging everything in the service of the Lord. So it looks the same. Sometimes people criticize devotees as being karma yogis or engaged in karmic activities because it looks the same. That's why they say you guys should meditate and you should perform all kinds of severe austerities to somehow or other free yourself from the encumbrance of material energy. But they can only go to a certain level of freedom because they don't take up aruna kishchena padam padam padantiyada. Lord Brahma says in this same chapter towards the end, he quotes that verse, that these yogis, jnanis, they elevate themselves high on the spiritual platform, but padantiyada, they fall down again. Why? Because they don't take up devotional service. They don't have positive spiritual activities. So we have the positive spiritual activities, which means the activities that are geared towards serving the Supreme Lord according to the direction given by the spiritual master, who knows how to engage the devotees accordingly in such a way that they can make progress towards the goal of life. Well, that is our process. It's very simple, very easy, and it's very direct. It's not so easy, but it's direct. It's direct. Where the other spiritualists, of course, the non-devotees, they are simply under the influence of matter. So whatever they do, they get more entangled in the activities they perform, and they wonder why they can't find satisfaction and peace. Why? Because the material energy is always changing. So if they get some temporary satisfaction from achieving something or eliminating some difficulty, they feel that some success has been gained. But then, as the material energy is what is mutable, mutable is changeable, it cannot be stable. Only the spiritual energy is stable in the sense that it brings one to a certain level of consciousness, and then it takes that consciousness higher to its ultimate perfection. Whereas the material energy is always changing. What is nice one day is not nice the next day. You have some water, you put it on the stove, and you boil it, and then if you leave it on there long enough, the water's gone. There's nothing left. It just turns into gas. Just an example how matter is changed by a combination of interaction with other elements of matter. So that's the whole material world. And this body we have in is always changing. Sometimes they say it's growing. But Prabhupada said, no, not growing, but changing. Because the cells are actually becoming less and less. And they keep dividing and dividing and dividing the cells within the body. And that is how old age is affected on the body. There's a whole science people study. Well, what is the aging process? It's just the dividing of the cells, and they become less and less or weaker and weaker. And that changes the form of the body, and then you get old. That's all. So they think they can somehow or other stop that aging process by doing chemical arrangements within the body, but they can't, because the body works under the influence of the material energy, and the material energy is controlled ultimately by Krishna, Maya Dakshena Prakriti. So devotees don't worry about what's happening on the material level. They know if they get sick, well, I'm not sick, my body's sick. Still, I have to take care of my body and keep it from getting, run down so I can do my service very nicely. But even if a devotee is somewhat sick and even debilitated, they can still engage in devotional service. They may have to change the way they serve, but as Prabhupada says, there's no material situation that can impede one's devotional progress. One may have to adopt a different type or a more subtle type of devotional. In other words, maybe one may be forced to just chant or read and can't do physical work because of debilitation of the body. But still, devotees are never affected by the combinations or the change of material energy, although sometimes we seem like we are. Therefore, we shouldn't worry about the changing things of what happens on the external energy. Things will always change. And you can't control that. You can control it up to a sense that you can be free from the effects of it by staying engaged in devotional service. And you can watch it happening in front of you. But if you somehow or other try to control it or stop it, to worry, it's just not within our power. It's just the way the material energy works. It's not, we're not the controllers. We're simply the servants of the Lord who use the material energy and bring it back to its natural state. Because these elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and ego, are actually spiritual. Because Krishna creates these elements, and Krishna, everything Krishna creates is not material. It's of his same, what we say, nature. So these elements in their pure form, in the very beginning of creation, are actually spiritual. But when they are combined together and used in a way that is different from the service of the Lord, they take on this conception of being material. But that's just another, as it says here, liberation and bondage is just an illusion. It's false. Because the soul can never be encumbered by the material energy, although it appears to be. And encumbering is simply the consciousness of the living entity. Change your consciousness and you change your conception of your relationship with the material energy. When you get completely into pure consciousness, then you realize the material energy is completely separate from you. It has nothing to do with you. Just like if you get, well, I use the example, you get sick. And just like sometimes, well, even if you die, you don't really die because you never were, you weren't, the body is never alive anyway. It's a combination of matter. And great souls, they know that if they have to leave their body, it's not a problem for them because they know they're not this body. And they know that the body is just an material elements. So when they go to the stage of what they say birth and death, it's simply a terminology of the beginning and the end of the body, which has nothing to do with the soul. And that's, we call it birth and death, but, and we call it in between that, that's life. But actually it's not life because there's no life to matter. Matter is simply jada or dead. So when you know all of these things, you don't have to worry about what's happening. You simply engage in devotional service. Yeah, my body is like this. All right, I'll work with it. Go on in your devotional service. We shouldn't be spending so much trying to make our body comfortable or put it into a nice situation so we can somehow or other feel less difficulties of being in the material. Just engage in devotional service. We take some care, but just like you take care of your car, we know the car is not, you know, you, but it has a purpose, so we take care of the body. But don't overdo it, because it mentions that, and this is in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the first, I think it's the first or second chapter of Adi Lila, there are 22 ways by which one can engage in sense gratification. And one of them is health. When we get too much absorbed in trying to make our body healthy, it's another form of sense gratification. when one should do what is necessary and not become overly concerned about that. Because ultimately, as Srila Prabhupada said, if you're sick, chant Hare Krishna. And you'll see, as when you actually are sick and you chant, and you're chanting properly, you actually feel yourself being relieved of the effects of the disease. To some degree, depends on the type of disease you have. So actually, because the soul is actually becoming energized through the process of chanting, and when it does, it affects the body in a positive way also. So that the best health remedy is chant Hare Krishna. Of course, we take a few medicines every day, we take a few supplements. But when we get overly concerned about the state of the body, then we fall into this conception. And it becomes an obsession. There are people who are what we call hypochondriacs. They're always thinking about, oh, well, I'm going to get sick. And they take all kinds of medicines. You open up their door of their house, and all the medicines fall on the floor. You know, it's like there are people like that. It's just like too much. And devotees can get like that too. Is this hell, that hell? Do what's necessary. And of course, for one person, maybe one level, another person. But when we get too much involved in that, then we fall into the bodily conception of life. So that's pointed out in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that health activities also is a form of sense gratification when it is, you know, overdone. In other words, in that. I'm making that point because one of the most important parts of our material life is to take care of our health. But we have to make sure we take care of our spiritual health along with it in the position of priority. So that's very important to understand. Because ultimately, you're going to die anyway. So how much time you want to spend about trying to keep the body healthy anyway? It's all lost. The body's going to be gone anyway. So you keep it as healthy as you can. But not all day thinking about this remedy, that remedy, this exercise, that exercise, this thing. There's people who are like, even there's, I know devotees are like that too. So you know, it's like too much. It's necessary, but it's not what we say a feature of, you know, overly concerned. Our main concern is, am I engaged in devotional service this minute? What am I doing this particular minute? Is my mind focused on activities of spiritual life and devotional service? Or am I thinking, you know, on the material level about the body or the extensions of the body or the act, you know. So a devotee should always be checking, what is my consciousness? If you see yourself not able to do anything, chant Hare Krishna. That's all. And then you're right back on the spiritual platform. And then this idea of liberation, as it says here, I mean, this is a very, very, what we say, how's it say, different approach to the whole understanding of liberation. Because we hear that one should try to achieve liberation, but here it says it's another form of ignorance. That's all. So this takes it to another level of understanding. Okay, so I'll stop there and see if there's any questions, comments, criticisms. Maharaj, yeah. Huh? Wait for the mic. Yeah. Here comes Mike. Here comes Michael. We call him Mike.
The idea of liberation being ignorance is not so much that we're not in ignorance. We are in ignorance. But liberation being ignorance is the fact that even if you're liberated, as you quoted that verse, you're still in ignorance. Because actual knowledge... to find out what you're not doesn't mean you know who you are.
Right.
So if you don't know who you are, then you're still in ignorance.
Yeah.
So the idea, because Although it says in Bhagavad Gita, Anadiva Niguna Paramatmayam Avyam, Sharira Sopikantiya Nakarotina Livide. Those who can see with the eyes of eternity, to see the soul is transcendental, eternal, beyond the modes of its own nature, it's in spite of contact with the material body or Arjuna, the soul is neither doing anything nor is detangled.
Yeah.
But we are in ignorance. In other words, because we think we're doing things and we think we're entangled. Therefore, the influence of the illusory energy is upon us.
Yeah, so to whatever degree.
Liberation, as Prabhupada writes in 1855, liberation actually means
devotional service.
Freedom from misconceptions.
Yeah, that's one element, one definition. But the liberation means to be engaged in devotional service. You're ready.
Well, that means that you're, by engaging in devotional service,
you're on the liberated path. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we don't have to worry about liberation. It comes automatically.
Yeah.
Okay, anyone else? Well, thank you. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj, for the lecture. I was asked to understand more when you said, for example, he's not the father, or she's not already.
It's a role we play in this world.
Yes, okay.
It's a drama.
But how is that illusion? Is it like it's just not...
It's based on the body. You're only if you were in a female body, you would be a mother. But either female body or male body is part of the material energy. So, and Lord Brahma will make this point later on in this chapter. He'll say all of the identities we have in this world are simply because we have a material body. And therefore, the idea of having a material body, as it explains in the Vaibhra Shabde, is just we take that on because of our desire to enjoy in this material world. But that's not us. We're not the material body. And so all of these things that surround our material body, as far as our responsibilities in this world, is based on this conception of having a material body. So we were in this drama. It has nothing to do with us. We play this role because we're in this drama of material existence. That's all.
So at that moment, it's not an illusion.
I mean, you do your duty according to your ashram. So if you're in a grihastha ashram, you play the role as the father. But you have to understand you're playing a role. It's not you. That's all. Yeah. Play the role good, but don't get caught up in the role. If you're the best actors are actually those who identify with the part. So, identifying with the part in this world means getting more entangled with that illusion of being that part. So Prabhupada says, you know, my body, my wife, my children, this is all maya, because these persons who we claim connected to our body in these different ways are actually spiritual beings, and they are part and parcel of Krishna. But as a grihastha, okay, you take care of your family. But you take your care of your family in such a way as they become Krishna conscious. As Rishabde says in the fifth canto, don't become father, don't become mother, don't become guru, don't become teacher. If you cannot liberate your, you know, followers, children from the cycle of birth and death, that's your main duty. Taking care of them on the material platform is also needed, but the main duty is to bring them to the platform of self-realization. In other words, God consciousness. Then you're really a father. Because you're acting as a representative of the Supreme Father. Understand? Yeah, all right, it's a drama. But don't think you're the part you play. The play it good anyway. Maharaj, you want to add something?
Well, what you said is very good. But part of our responsibility is to be able to identify the roles that we have and what the proper way of playing that role is.
Yeah.
So
I said that.
Yeah. I'm just...
okay.
So not only in the material life, but even to the Rupa Goswami advises that we understand what role we have spiritual life also, and what level of attainment we have in those roles. So because there's a variety of ways of playing a role, there's not only one way of playing a role, there's unlimited varieties.
Yeah.
And we really have to find out through Guru Sadhana Shastra and the Paramatma within
the... Are you talking about the material role or spiritual role?
Even spiritual role.
Oh, okay.
If one has the role of father or guru or whatever, what may be able to play that role to different degrees properly.
Right, okay. Yeah. And some are good at it, and some are not. Some know what it is, and some are trying to understand what it is.
That is the Pushara Ragini told Lotion of the Dukhavani in Dukhavani Svetam, in Materiyani Svetam.
Today I try to understand the difference between material and spiritual world.
In če gledam zdaj iz mojega položaja, ki živim v templju in ko...
And if I look from my perspective, because now I live in the temple.
In ko je potrebno deliti službice, bodisi v kongregacijskim baksam ali tempelskim.
And when I need to schedule the like jobs, services, different services for congregational devotees or for devotees in temple.
Mogoče še bolj kongregacijskim.
Maybe even more to congregational members.
Ki je tukaj moje nerazumevanje, zakaj je tako težko narediti kakšno službico, ko govorimo o služenstvu, ali pa da je to službica za Krišno. Kako...
Here I don't understand... How to explain them that this is a service, that it's not a form of slavery?
Service to Krishna.
Yeah, that it's service to Krishna. Govorimo pa o visoki filozofiji. In, ne, ampak so stvari zelo preproste. Zakaj, recimo, se tukaj zatakne pri baktah?
Because we talk about this high philosophy, but actually the things are very simple.
Right.
Why it gets, with devotees, catchy with this part?
So why do devotees... You just explained that you're doing service for the Lord, that's all. And to serve the Lord will make you happy, will connect you with God. We live... our existence is spiritual, and therefore by doing this service we're actually acting on our real identity as a... So you can speak like that, very simple, right to the point, nothing philosophical, that you're not this body, you're an illusion, and therefore you're not doing anything, although I'm telling you to do something. You don't want to get into all of these. Yeah, simplify it. And when I first came to Krishna consciousness, I remember when I was in New York, my bhakta leader said, you've been serving yourself all your life, now you can serve God. And I thought, wow, now I can actually serve God. I got really excited. He made it sound so important that now I'm actually doing the thing that is the best thing I could possibly do. I'm serving that person who is God. Wow. It was like, so you can somehow, tell people that, you can serve the Lord.
Ali morda ne razumemo, kaj pomeni sploh predaja, da premalo razumemo kaj pomeni se predati Krišni.
Do we maybe not understand what is actually surrender?
Don't worry about surrender. Just get them engaged in devotional service. by following your instructions and carrying them out nicely, they're surrendering. But surrender is not something that happens and then you're surrendered. Surrender is moment to moment. You can be surrendered one moment and the next minute not. So at that point when they're engaged, they're surrendered. Yeah. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Thank you. Nice. All right, we can stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.